Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 645. They are the hosts of the Sleeping with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thing, which
is fantastic.
Which is fantastic. There is a point in it where there's like kids like playing, and that's not too relaxing to me.
Kids playing?
You hear kids playing?
That's because you're afraid of kids and you don't have kids.
I'm deathly afraid of kids. They hold most of the diseases in the world. But then after that, though, it's like midway point is like the most relaxing thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Because it's like, you know, I go back and forth between that and some just noises and pizzizz.
Oh, yeah. Pizzizz is great.
Yeah. That transatlantic accent that guy has.
You get ready for deep sleep.
One time I heard him say something I'd never heard him say before. He was like, just shoo away the bad thoughts. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And I was like, shoo away? Go fucking fuck yourself with that fucking term. I've come to think that this guy was the most intelligent person I've ever known in my life. It's like, shoo him away. Shoo, shoo.
You know, there used to be, I think it was on, I want to say Planet Earth. It was one of the big Discovery specials, and I think Richard Attenborough narrated it in England, and I think, is that the one? I don't know. It was one that Sigourney Weaver narrated here.
Oh, yeah. That might have been, yeah.
And there was a line, and I think she was talking about a Nautilus, and she was like, and now the Nautilus must puff its way to deeper waters. I'm going to puff my way. I'm sorry, guys. I got to puff my way to deeper waters.
That's Chris always puffing his way to deeper waters.
I can hear you down here. I didn't puff that deep.
Yeah. This guy fucking dumb.
Do you have anything on the community cork board?
Yeah, we got some stuff.
What do you got on there,
Kyle's community cork board.
It's not Kyle's. That is not the correct branding.
Kyle and the community cork board.
I'll allow it.
I've got a guy who I'm excited about because he's Hawaiian.
What? Is his name Jonah?
It is, actually.
Oh.
No, it's a guy named...
Good joke, Kyle.
Cliff Bailey. That's what I'm here for.
I get it.
Cliff
Hawaiian
Bailey.
Cliff.
He's
That's
from Hawaii,
a joke, right?
And he does his friend Chris Flowers lives in North Carolina, and they had to like separate, but now they do a podcast over Skype together to keep friendship going, no matter how far away you are or what fake state you're in.
Yeah, well, pretty cool. Mahalo to that,
right?
What else? Yeah.
North Carolina is an actual state, Kyle.
I know. I've got family from there, so I'm a big supporter.
They have a friend from Hawaii. His name is Cliff Diver. That's a real name.
But their podcast is called The Bailey Adventure.
B-A-I-L-E-Y. Great.
Adventure. There's also a guy from Portland. That's a place you're familiar with.
Portland!
Right? And he does like steampunk iPod like speakers that are like wood grain.
Oh,
they're called Volta.
So they only work for your iPod.
An iPhone.
Oh, okay.
I suppose.
Sure.
What's an iPod?
That's
I don't know.
I mean, if that's how you want
to deal with it. Something that would puff its way to deeper waters.
It would. Yeah.
And what's that called?
It's called the Volta Sound.
Okay.
And they are very attractive and priced to own and handmade by somebody just outside of Portland who I assume had a mustache and put on a nice brown leather apron to craft it for you.
It's made with love and mustache wax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some for the cork board.
What do you got there?
Deanna Rooney, my wife, just... animated a video for the band Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Yeah.
And it's up on the AV Club right now and on Side One Dummy Records website and YouTube. But it's a song it's kind of has a talking about like a lot of cults and stuff like that. And then she animated Nick Cage finding a cult of hamsters, saving them, and they also all have penises because that's what my wife does. She
just pulls some stuff in the vault there.
Yeah. It's off of their amazing album Christmas Island, and it's just. Did I get that right, Kyle?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Anna Rooney, very talented artist.
Yes, yeah. So
I like that. I just that let out. You have, and you're like, let me get a dig in.
Yeah. Also, DC Pearson, who's an amazing comedian and writer, just did a self-produced 5-minute proof of concept for a film adaptation of his book, The Boy Who Never Went to Sleep and Didn't Have to. And that's up on Vimeo, so just look for that. It's a really cool book, and it's a really cool little video. I'm trying to make that into a movie.
I'll be performing on Friday the 13th of March.
Friday the 13th of March.
We just had one of those.
We're having another one.
Too much spooky. That's I'm at the St. Louis and St. Louis at the Pageant Theater. It might be sold out, but I think there could be a couple tickets left available. And then I just added a bunch of second shows to shows like in DC and Boston and Philly and Atlanta and Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. And so if you go to funcomfortabletour.com, I'll also be announcing a bunch of new cities for the fall, for the late summer and the fall. Some Texas dates, I think maybe some Tennessee dates.
Nice.
And some other. So funcomfortabletour.com. Kyle, anything for you?
I had just my Jonah Ray decided to reissue my cassette tape, Pizza Night, and it'll be out in a few weeks on his Literally Figuratively record label. And so it'll be available
Label
through,
Magnate, Jonah Ray.
We did it in conjunction with Wiener Records, and so it'll be available on their website. It'll also be available on AstoyMerchandise.com, where I do all my distro stuff through.
Excellent.
Cool.
And can we agree that the correct spelling of Wiener is W-I-E-N-E-R?
We sure can.
Yeah, because sometimes I'll put that on Twitter. People go, it's W-E-I. And I go, no, that's a Jewish last name, Wiener.
Yes.
That's not. Wiener is like Vienna.
As someone who uses the term Wiener too much, I definitely have got that spelling down.
Because it comes from Vienna, like a Wiener, a Wiener.
Yeah. You mean by someone that gets called Wiener a bit too much?
Well, yeah, for sure.
Bringing it back home for a hostful podcast. Another one.
Yeah, what's Matt doing? Getting ready for Edmund? Midnight?
He's getting ready for At Midnight. Complaining about it, I'm sure. I never get to come to podcasts. You could. You could just come out here. No, I can't. Then I wouldn't be able to complain about it.
I come in to the circle, be unmoving.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Not even here to defend himself.
That was a great match. Wow, that's like a real subtle great match. I like that.
Thanks.
It's so weird because it's so close to, jeez, I just don't.
I mean, I just don't. I just don't.
Yeah.
It's the critic.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You want my jacket, Ben?
I will not let you own me.
What are we doing? What is this? What are we doing?
I don't know. You're just undressing.
Yeah. I'm not the one barging in here with short pants.
They're called shorts.
Sorry, I don't want to go with the hip lingo. I'm not crazy about shortening things all
short
the time.
Short pants are different than shorts.
Are they?
Yes.
But isn't that where the term derives from? Is that they're short pants? They're shorts?
Well, let's say a colloquialism now has become an accepted term. It's
too
weird.
Long to be shorts, too short to be pants. There's chance. Do you know that one?
No.
It was an old, what's his name? He was in Fly the Conchords. He was an American comic, but now he lives in New Zealand.
Oh, you're talking about Arch Barker.
Arch Barker.
Yeah, that was like one of his. He lives in Australia.
Australia,
yeah,
okay.
He's huge in Australia.
That's what I hear.
Really funny.
But yeah, that was like, he used to say that because he used to wear chants.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, I just don't think I would be like, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to put my short pants on.
I'm going to the gymnasium. I'm going to put short pants on.
Also, if I can only find this time portal.
Yeah. Oh, the Gaim.
That's one of my favorite Simpsons jokes.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite. What's a Gaim? They posted that on the Simpsons Instagram.
Yeah, I think that's why it was in my head.
Oh, a Gaim.
How perfect is it that they can find a little 15 second like couplets to just make it go.
It's the best. For anyone who's not following a Simpsons Instagram, I think it's the Simpsons IG.
I think so.
I think maybe that's it.
So good. It's that and Skate Park Fights are my two favorite
Instagrams. I can't watch Skate Park Fights.
I don't like watching people
get... You still
get...
like seeing tons of white kids say the N-word over and over again.
Well, that would be unfortunate too, but I just can't, I don't like watching people get hurt. It's very, when we worked on WebSoup, it was very hard for me watching people land on their face.
You should have fucking tried to write something after like the 20th one. It's like, the testicles are a very...
Yeah.
Webster's Dictionary defines pain as...
That poor guy, Mike Gaboff, who just kept, like, jumping
Crazy on. Mike Gaboff?
Yeah, but I think he, like, severely injured himself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
He kept going, but he was real... It's funny, like, talking to those other guys. Like, they all know each other. Like, Horse, remember Horse?
Yes.
And, like, Horse...
The guy who
get
kicked in the nuts?
Yeah, and he was like, oh, that Gaboff guy fucking sucks. We used to start doing... We started doing stunts, like, or when we first started, we were doing them together. I was like, stunts, what is it? Oh, it's kids that didn't skate. Those were the guys that like. It's like it was weird because it's like all the guys that did the stuff, like all the Jackass stuff, were skaters that just like when they weren't skating, they were just they had a camera and they would do dumb shit. And then there was guys that like they're like, ooh, that's the stuff. That's the stuff that I'll do. And then that's
without the skating,
without the skating, that's all that. That's what that became.
That's. I think it's kind of like how. So those guys are skaters without the skating.
Yeah.
This I think. Wasn't it Patton that referred to hipsters as nerds without the brains?
I think so.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. This is a strange thing that happened the other morning. I woke up and like I had a little scratch above my eye, and I rubbed it and like a little weird piece of something. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I remembered that when I was 17,
wait.
This
is from the car accident?
Yes.
There's no way there's glass still coming out of your fucking head.
It happened for a few... It happened for years after the accident, but I was in a car accident when I was 17, and a really bad car accident, and I had glass all on my forehead, and for years it would work itself out. And I think a piece worked itself out.
That's crazy.
After that long. I mean, after 9 years.
After 30 years.
No, nine. All right, it's not 30, but it's not nine.
Yeah,
okay.
Split the diff. 45.
That's not the diff. That's not how the diff works.
What's the diff?
That's not how the diff works at all.
That's crazy. Did you felt the thing that came out?
Yeah,
or just...
I felt the thing, and I thought it was like a scab.
Yeah,
and then when I saw where it was, I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's where that's part of where the glass was."
That's so
really
gnarly.
Bad. Did I tell that story in here before?
Yeah, I think because it coincided with the story about there was something else that happened that day, right?
Hanging out with my friends.
Yeah, but were you in college yet?
I was just in college. I was 17.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember the details of the story. I just remember that.
Yeah. Friends and I went to Tijuana. We went to San Diego and then ended up sneaking down to Tijuana.
Oh, I don't think I know that story then.
We snuck down to Tijuana.
Sneaking, how so?
Our parents didn't know where we were.
Ah.
Yeah. You're God, you're adults.
You're like sneaking across the border. Like.
No. You're white, you don't have to sneak.
we went to, we told our parents we were going to San Diego. And we went to Tijuana and I wasn't really a drinker in high school though. But everyone else was drinking, and I guess, you know, when we drove back at, like, I don't know, like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning,
ugh.
And it was raining, and we got just near Irvine, and it was just sort of like twilight hour, and I was asleep, and it's like right before, it's so weird how you go into like spider sense, like right before something really awful happens, and all of a sudden everything just went, and then I was asleep or half asleep, and I just heard the dude driving, this kid named Matt, was like, oh my God, oh my God, and then he slammed on the brakes because there was a pickup truck just like parked in the number 3 lane.
Oh fuck!
And but because the roads were wet, he slammed on his brakes and he hydroplaned. We would have been fine if the roads had been dry.
Yeah,
and just hydroplaned. And the kid behind me was not wearing his seatbelt, and his body just smashed into my seat, and I caught all this glass in my forehead. And so everyone was really. I can't believe no one died.
Fuck.
Because, you know, we were going freeway speeds.
Yeah. What was the worst injury?
It was the kid behind me, Gerald. Yeah. He, because his whole body, like, I think he was in a coma for a few days. Like,
oh,
he was,
fuck.
And, but here's the crazy coincidence of the entire thing is that I discovered that my house now, it was his family's house.
What
I get their mail. I was getting some of their mail, and I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy.
That's so weird.
I think he might have lived in that house.
Gerald?
Gerald.
Mm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Very well-to-do family.
His parents own La Poubelle.
Ah, that'll do it.
Oh.
They've had it there forever.
Yeah,
The little trash can.
Fuck.
As it's known in French.
Yeah, yeah. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? That's such a strange coincidence.
Life is full of coincidences.
Yeah, so it's, you know, whenever I go into La Poubelle, if I see his mom and his sister, I'll be like, I was in that car accident with Gerald.
Yeah.
You know, the car accident.
Things worked out for me. I bought your house. Coming for the bar next.
Gonna turn it down and make it into a game room.
Yeah. How is Gerald? Oh, he died.
Complications of coma-itis.
They're not. They don't live on the Upper West Side.
Oh, he died. He's not alive. He's not alive any longer.
Oh, he passed.
No,
that's
fine.
Crazy.
He passed. You know, he passed a while back. You know, he passed to the other side.
You know, he just kept going into comas.
You know, the strangest thing, I think you broke some mystical seal when you bought the house. He just dropped dead and passed on.
It seems as if his soul was part of it, connected to it, it were.
Anyway, you'll see his unquiet soul roaming around your hallways. How's your mom?
Can I get you a drink, a Diet Coke, whatever? All right, now we're going to the coffee talk. Now we're going to the coffee talk. How are you guys doing? It's been a while since we've done a...
Has been.
A hostful podcast, unless you count.
It's been 19 days.
That was fun.
That really was fun.
It was a good time.
I don't know why, but my feelings always get a little hurt when people are like, "There was no guest," and I'm like, "But you said you wanted more hostfuls."
Yeah.
Yeah, but not on their time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No,
just
I guess
on our
that's
time.
True.
They still had fun.
Yeah, I think they had fun.
Almost.
It's just that, you know, like I thought John Waters was going to be there, and we tried for John. He couldn't be there, and it was a little bit of a scramble to get, you know, like everyone else. Because everyone does multiple shows at Sketchfest, and sometimes, you know. So, I don't know. I just thought, like, oh, it'd be cool to do a... The people want hostfuls, let's give them hostfuls.
We don't know how...
We used to do those all the time, live hostfuls.
Yeah, we don't know how they react.
That
yet.
Was just
that's
pretty much a live
yet.
Show, yeah.
It's out tomorrow.
We had a great
let's
time.
Re-record tomorrow when we find out their opinions on it. Maybe they all love
everyone's
it.
Real mad. Oh, we should have done this. I told you.
Oh, God.
You guys!
Take it offline. I do not want this.
I'll be over here in my short pants.
How dare you? I demand guest.
Wait, are you one of us now, or are you one of the audience?
I have no idea.
Or are you Bruce
the bit's
Gutter?
Been muddied. Muddied, I say.
Oh, Jonah passed on after us.
But my ghost lives on.
He had a bit blockage. He was doing voices, and
he passed.
I choked to death.
Sometimes it's almost like I can hear him just hanging out.
I'm right fucking here.
He didn't talk that way in life. I don't know what happened.
His ghost sounds like that. I've been merged with the soul of Ted Knight.
You'll see.
Oh.
I've got to get out of here. Please avenge me.
Oh, Danny is not a member of this club. He certainly couldn't take something as illegal as this. Yeah. How you guys been?
Doing okay. Just working on the on editing the pilot that I shot
that's
for
fantastic.
True TV. So that's been fun. That's a fun process.
Yeah.
Sitting there making fixing things. Yeah, yeah.
When do you have to finish that by?
Friday, I think, is the when we send it in to the network. But it's real funny. It's very funny. It's very it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. So I think it's and it's turning out pretty nicely.
Realizing dreams.
It's on Eric, so I'm putting whatever music I want in it, which is fucking fantastic.
That network is owned by Hearst, so I feel like if we knew anybody, that might.
Can you put in a good word for me?
Oh.
Could you do me a solid?
I don't like to talk business during lovemaking time.
Is that that's the only time you guys communicate?
No. I just twisted my words. Sir, you've just twisted my words. Now,
you've just twisted
now,
my
wait,
words
wait,
like
wait
a pair
minute.
Of short pants.
How was that twisted?
So, Jonah,
okay.
short pants are
short,
not
short. Short Chris, no. Okay.
Who wears short pants?
I caught the train today. I let my brother borrow my car, and so I caught the train to North Hollywood from Highland Park.
Why'd you let your brother borrow your car?
His car was breaking down. He bought Ed Salazar's old car, so he's...
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I think you should let him learn a lesson.
So you're saying
I should buy a car from Ed Salazar.
Yeah. You're saying that Ed Salazar's 98 Chevy Cavalier is not hanging in there in 2015?
Yeah. But
now, what's it going to take for you to get into this beautiful 1998 Chevrolet Cavalier?
Registration, it turns out. it was great. I had a nice time. It was very relaxing, just letting the train do the work for you, and you just kind of get to relax in the morning on the way to work.
Just letting the gentle hand of public transportation set you down.
Yeah. Gold line to red line. Fucking easy.
Where's the stop around here?
The closest one would probably be like
Hollywood Island.
Nah, I think Hollywood and Vine.
Is there one? No.
Yeah, Hollywood and Highland. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I actually caught the ride to work, but like I caught an Uber over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. So it wasn't
You're doing
there.
Pretty well over there, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
You got an Uber.
Catching Ubers all over the place.
Catching an Uber. The guy was real heavy foot, and I felt sick the entire time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotta keep your eyes off the phone. Stare at the road. You'll be fine.
Yeah. That's a good point. I was looking out the window. Didn't help.
You're reminiscing about it now. I rolled down
the window to get some air on my face. It didn't help. None of it. Yeah, no good. Did you guys watch the SNL 40th anniversary?
No, I only saw, based on your recommendation, I saw the Martin Short part of it.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. But I sort of felt like, I don't know, you know, I just feel like the audience was being weird.
Well, they were. But it's all the people there, and everyone's kind of like, it's a weird thing, I think.
Yeah, but fuck, you know, like, fucking have fun if you're in an audience and you're seeing something, like, when it cut back to Fred and Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
During that sketch, there was no smiles. They were surrounded by people, and everyone just looked fucking sour.
Yeah, that
like,
was true.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Like the last anniversary show had, like, it was a lot more fun.
It was a different world then, you know?
Sure was.
Kadeem Hardison and Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, but I suggest people watch the 40th anniversary if they've ever wanted to see the Bass-O-Matic sketch at half the speed.
Why?
It's just Dan Aykroyd does it. Yeah, and he like talked about it on Stern, saying that like Lauren asked for him to do it, and like the analogy that was given was like it's like, hey, you know that great like Olympic like javelin throw you did that one time? It was just in the moment it happened. You just nailed it. It's like, do that again. Do the thing you did at a live show that's so iconic that everyone's seen.
Do that again 40 years later.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just Dan Aykroyd looking like my dad. Dad Aykroyd. I called him that. Dad Aykroyd. And it's just like, you know, it's just the best.
Jonah Ray stance.
But it was a little. I was like, I get why they're doing it. You know, a salute to the classic sketches, but like, rough.
Like, now, are you being a sexy dog, or were you saying
rough?
They did the parrot sketch. Remember?
Lipstick is out.
What?
They did the dead parrot sketch on SNL with, and it was, it might have been 15, 20 years ago, but it was with Cleese and Palin.
But
remember?
The thing is, like, at least they still do that live sometimes. Like, you know, throughout the years, Python has done that live. Yeah. A bunch of, you know, like a good handful of times.
Yeah.
That was the last time.
Aykroyd's never been on the Bass-O-Matic tour.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's,
I'm going to need a blender and I need some power.
He's a real weird dude, that Dan Aykroyd.
Doesn't he own some train cars?
Yes, he doesn't fly. And so he owns a train car that he
hitches.
I guess
up to
you can
Amtrak.
Do that. And yeah.
You can rent a train car.
Yeah, but you can have your own train car.
You can own a train car
and then
they'll
just
Amtrak
put it
tow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how he gets around.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But also,
it's just like a guy. It's like, I mean, what's the fear of flying for this guy? He's going to get abducted?
I would love him to be on this show.
On this show?
On this very program.
Oh, yeah. I would love to talk to the guy.
I want
to
spend 20 hours talking to him.
I may have a connection.
Yeah.
So I'll try.
I'd love to talk to him. I was so obsessed with him for so long. It's like he was just like, you see those old pictures of him. He's like the coolest looking guy in the like original Not Ready for Primetime Player pictures. He's the coolest looking dude, which is like a good indicator of like, don't try to be cool your whole life because look at him now.
Well, he's probably going to come on if you say stuff like that.
But I think he's amazing.
Good follow up.
Oh, my neck from that back pedal. Really good save.
I said it beforehand. That it was amazing.
It back.
I said
good save, Robitaille. Was he a goalie? Was Robitaille a goalie? He was. Okay, good.
I don't know. He's such a such a weird thing in my life. Like it's like I've like was so obsessed with him, and like now I'm like don't know how to feel about him.
Feel good about him. He's still out there doing stuff.
He still did great stuff. He doesn't have to do good stuff.
No, exactly. But I want to I try to understand him. You know, I try to understand like Blues Brothers 2000. I try to understand getting into it's like or
a lot of existential Aykroyd.
No, it's
It's like he's like a big part of my life.
I feel like he just kind of feels like. I think he just has fun with things.
That's what I think.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, why not?
That's what I want to think. I don't know. It's like he really like it's like
when you're out of the when you're not doing comedy for a long period of time, it's just like I think it's just like pulling a bike out of the garage that's been sitting in there for 20 years. It's
but he was so brilliant for so long.
Yeah.
And and he really pushed there wasn't a lot of huge sci-fi comedies before Ghostbusters. You know, there wasn't Dr. Detroit is so fucking gonzo. It's like,
Detroit really is.
It's he's just so in that kind of Toronto, Chicago voice. He's just...
I think the first time I ever kind of went whoa, to a Dan Aykroyd movie was Caddyshack 2.
When he did the fucking Bill Murray thing.
When he does the Carl character.
And maybe he justifies it's my friend. If anyone's going to do it, I'll do
maybe
it.
Maybe he developed that character at Growlings and let Bill do it. And then they had to do it, at Second City, rather. And maybe that was, maybe Harold Ramis was like, hey, why don't you do it now?
A lot of speculation.
Yeah, I know. I just, I think about him a lot. Always have.
Always have. You sure do.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Go to sleep. Oh, damn.
No, I mean...
I got to meet...
Don't you remember one of my first... Like one of my early jokes was...
I remember. You asked him to sign it. He got mad because you asked him to sign his picture of the old Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
I remember that joke.
Yeah, it's like he's been like...
Boy, we're not getting him on this show if you're here.
I know. No, but I like him.
Jonah's going to be like, I really like you, but what happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Briefcase full of blues that...
Are you looking at him and going, is that going to happen to me? Or are you looking at it and going, what happened?
Not to say that I don't have a fraction.
Maybe
of the
he's happy.
I think he is. I want him to be.
You just want him to be the thing that you need him to be, and not just accepting him for who he is now.
I think that's probably it. Okay,
that might not be fair.
No, it's not fair at all. Okay, don't believe me. I'm having trouble with it too, Chris. I'm clearly conflicted with my thoughts on Dan Aykroyd, but I think about him a lot.
Who do you? Sweet. Is there anyone else you feel like this about?
About like other like, other, like that you other artists or other
yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Are you ever getting intimate with Deanna and then just as she's starting to get into it, you go, I mean, nothing but trouble. What was that movie?
Yeah, what was that?
And do you ever stretch out her name and go,
Deanna Rooney Aykroyd.
What was Nothing But Trouble? I still can't figure out what that movie was.
But it's like, he was trying to do something really weird and something out of the box. And like, it's like, everyone kind of like made fun of him for it. But like, it's like that movie was kind of weird. And
go listen to the How Did This Get Made of that episode. It's very good.
They did that. One for that? Yeah. Oh, that's spectacular.
Yeah, really. It was.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I haven't been able to intellectualize it enough to talk about it properly, but I...
Please.
I don't know.
Do you want Dan Aykroyd to do now? Like, what would be your perfect Aykroyd scenario?
I don't know.
Like, would you want him to just go back and start doing comedies again?
I'd love him. I'd love him to
play because
he doesn't like being himself, but he's good at being himself in dramas, But even his dramas, even Driving Miss Daisy and shit, he had an accent and stuff like that. So it's I wonder if he'd be able to be the lead in a movie that he kind of plays close to himself, or just kind of how Bill Murray kind of started doing that stuff. Like a lot of comedy guys when they get older start doing a version of themselves, and I wonder if that's that's the case. I don't know.
Maybe he just doesn't give a shit anymore.
He doesn't have to. I mean, he's he loves music. Like he started the House of Blues stuff, and
does a radio show every week as Elwood Blues.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
On I might be on XM, but I think it's definitely online. You can get it.
Yeah. Is it called Elwood Blues Clues? Because it should be.
It might be the Elwood Blues Hour. Like that.
Well, thank you for answering.
He's one of those guys that kind of did it. Kind of like, you know, like Brendan Small, where they had like equal parts career in comedy and music.
Right.
And like, you know, like who else? Like, there's not a lot of people that were. Because
at this point, I feel like there have been more years of him not doing comedy than when he was doing comedy.
That's true. He's probably been doing music now longer than comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Where does he live?
I think he lives in Toronto.
On a train?
I saw him at Larchmont once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was very
We'll try.
Exciting. I mean, I don't mean to...
No, not at all.
I don't mean to seem like I'm like...
Honest, you can totally... It's totally cool.
No, I love your existential Dan Aykroyd crisis that you have.
Yeah,
apparently.
And I think it's... You know, I think it's like I just... Maybe I project a lot of stuff like... Not that I would do the same thing. Start in stand-up, he started in sketch, but like... But like, you know, he was really amazing, and he still is, you know. But I wonder where he's at. And I don't know. I just constantly
see if we can get him in here.
Well, if you look at everybody during that period of time that was in the comedy scene, as far as like sketch and even movies and TV and stuff like that, you bring it to now and you look at what they're doing now, and a lot of them are dead.
Yeah.
From Living Too Hard, and a lot of them are just sort of like different.
Dead inside, like Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Or, you know, and Chris, you're welcome to spin off of this into your story, but like, look at Steve Martin.
I have a story! spinning.
Who did comedy, and now he seems to be content. Banjo, book. Art.
Yeah, but he's still like, you know, he still does shows with Martin Short. Steve Martin, like he still does jokes between his songs. Like he still like considers himself to do comedy.
Yeah,
I still and I'm at. Well, we did a beta test show last night, which is this show I started at Meltdown every so often to basically to force myself to write new material. So I get a handful of comics, and you get up to 20 minutes. But you have to do new stuff or new tags if it's an old bit.
Yeah.
But you just have to workshop, and the show's free. And last night was really fun. Justin Willman and Matt Kirsch and April Richardson and TJ Miller and me.
Nice.
And Lorraine Newman came.
No way.
And I was so, like, April and I both kind of flipped out because she tweeted at April and was like, "You were hilarious," and tweeted at me and was like, "I had so much fun at the show." I'm like, "Oh my God, why didn't you say hi?"
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm still so profoundly affected by
that
group.
Yeah. No, apparently she's like a huge comedy fan. Like, she goes to shows
Lorraine
all the time.
She's so rad.
Lorraine did my show at Sketchfest last year with Tom. We did One Star.
One Star
was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But I met... We went to the old Vanity Fair party the other night, and I saw Patton sitting on the couch, and so at a party like that, where it's just lousy with, you know, like famous people, and I do not feel like I just feel very out of place there. I see Patton, and I immediately feel like one of us, you know. So of course I go over. And he's talking it's loud, so he's talking very closely to someone on the couch. And I'm standing there, and he doesn't look up. I'm like, I mean, I'm there for a bit, almost starting to creep on him a little bit. So I kick his foot. He doesn't look up. I kick his foot again. He doesn't look up. So I put my foot, like, on the tip of his foot and just start swirling his foot around in an annoying fashion. And he still won't look up. So I lean down and kiss him on the head. And I look over, and now I'm face-to-face with Steve Martin. Steve Martin was the person he was talking to on the couch. And so now I'm torn because I want to inject myself into the conversation.
I
also don't want a comedy cock block Patton because I feel like
that's his moment.
And it's not my moment. And so Patton graciously he was talking to Steve about, he said, "Thank you so much for writing Born Standing Up. Now whenever someone says, what's it like to do comedy, I can just refer them to that book." And then he sort of threw it to me to say something. I go, "Yeah, well, I bought the audiobook because I got to hear you, you know, like basically redo all the old bits that I loved." And then Patton made some joke like, "Oh, I thought it was a mistake to have that Marv Albert narrated it," or something like that.
You
know? And so we sort of riffed on that for a second. Then I excused myself and I'm like, "Okay, nice to meet you." And I walked away. I wanted to stay so bad, but
that's
I was
a good
like,
move though. It's a cool move.
It wasn't
Chris.
It was Patton's thing.
Yeah.
And then so after Steve left, I saw Patton again. And I love seeing him get so giddy about someone. He was like, I just put my fucking phone number in Steve Martin's phone. Like, he was so excited, you know,
that's so nuts.
I was jealous. I wanted to put my fucking number in Steve Martin's phone. Hey, I fucking pinned him down.
There's always going to be more Oscar parties, buddy.
No, but I, actually I really wasn't, but it was really fun. It was really neat.
That's really
and
cool.
And Steve seemed really cool. And he was nice to me for the second that I met him. And the thing that was sort of a moment checker for me was that I didn't freak out about it.
Nice.
I think the podcast is kind of
numbed
not numbed, but just sort of like it's helped me learn how to like mash that down and be in a moment rather than freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to stepping out and going, this is the moment I'm talking
exactly,
now.
Exactly, exactly. Which, yeah. I mean, it's not that that's not there anymore. I'm certainly not numb to it. It's yeah. just that it's, I can push it out of the way.
It's that, like, that moment's like, this is awkward. Can I get a picture? This is awkward. You're really cool.
Is that right? Yeah, there were so many people that I saw that I wanted to.
I was very impressed at your Instagram feed. I thought I was going to see a picture of you with everybody on the planet that was at that party.
No, it's
good restraint on your part.
I wanted to take a picture with Gordon Ramsay just to send to you.
Yeah, well, I would have loved that.
So I saw Beck. I want to talk to him and say, I was real mad on your behalf, man.
Yeah, he liked it.
I know he did. But I just think it's obnoxious that I think, you know, I'm kind of like to like watch an ego implode. I don't mean Beck. I mean, yeah. But to watch Kanye, like this whole thing, it's like.
Well, I heard he's
like when you keep telling people how cool you are, it's not. I don't know if that really.
Well, I heard he's actually developing a hologram so he can interrupt himself next time he wins an award.
He's going to interrupt the Benson interruption.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about that, though, is that it's like it's a weird because everyone's like, he's doing it for Beyonce. It's like, he's kind of doing
it.
It's like
he's not doing it for Beyonce. First of all, if you're Jay-Z, do you want some other dude standing up like for your wife? Like that's like
I also like how he constantly talks about how Kim Kardashian and Beyonce are friends. Like, they're friends. They're friends, everybody. She respects Kim. Beyonce respects Kim. It's like, yeah, I don't think
Here's the
does.
Thing. They, you know, someone, because we talked about, like, on At Midnight, we addressed it a couple weeks ago, and there were some people in the audience who disagreed with what I was saying, which was, I just think he kind of sucks for all the stuff he's doing, you know, all this, like, attention-grabby stuff. And this girl was like, well, I mean, I just think, you know, he's offered to refuse his awards before for other people. And I go, that doesn't make him a good person. Like, if you really, you know, if that was his belief that other people were better and deserve the awards, then he would have taken himself out of the nomination pool.
Yeah.
And not even bothered to go. Like, who the fuck wants your shitty secondhand award? Like, that's so narcissistic.
Jack Lemmon.
That's so narcissistic to think, like, I won this. Like, you already got the attention for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you going, I'm going to give this to someone else. Like, if that's how you really felt and it was not an exercise in narcissism, you would not show up at all.
Yeah. The guy's extremely talented. But, like, when it comes to being a person or a human being,
but I agree that he's insanely talented. Yeah. But it's starting to overshadow.
He's being more of a character than he is an artist.
Yeah, because, like, to make an ignorant statement about, like, I thought the Grammys were for artists. Like, there may be few other people that are more of an artist than Beck.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a guy who fucking plays pretty much every instrument, writes his stuff, you know, he's kind of changed the face of music. He's still around after 21 years.
Yeah, started on the
years.
Bottom, started, you know, tooling around
lived
LA.
In a car. Like, I mean, fucking, I don't know. I got really mad on his behalf.
Yeah.
Just because of the basis of the argument that was being used for his attention grabbing.
Yes. Yes, for sure. But as far as Beck albums go, that one shouldn't have won the Grammy.
You don't think so?
It's good. It's not his best work, though.
Yeah, but if you listen to the other stuff that was nominated this year, I don't necessarily think they were wrong to give it to him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an amazing feat, playing all those instruments. And
that's true.
I mean, doing the entire album yourself, I feel like.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that.
So using Kanye's argument, he actually 100% deserved that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like the album, don't get me wrong. I just, it wasn't my favorite Beck album.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't have to be. What is your favorite Beck album?
Mutations.
I was going
to Ooh, that's a good
guess
one.
That was your...
Mutations and then Mellow Gold. What?
Guerrerito?
Oh, Guero?
There's
where Alito is a remix song. Yeah. You like the remix song better?
I like the remix
song. What was that 8-bit version of Yes, Girl? I think? No, there was an 8-bit version. Was like, the Girl 8-bit version is good too. I can't remember. There's so many.
I have every Beck album on my phone.
Yeah.
I think he's fabulous, guys.
I do too. He looked real nice. Like, he looked super nice and approachable, and I got nervous. It's funny. I said, like, oh, I can mash it down. I could not mash it down to, like, go up to him and be like, because I played it out in my head. Yeah. I came face to face, like, you know, like the crowds are all crazy.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get into these situations where you're sort of mashed through. This looks like kelp. So you're sort of trapped. And then all of a sudden you'll come face to face to people and you lock eyes for a second.
You had to fight Christoph Waltz.
I had to fight Christoph Waltz.
Nice.
He beat the shit out of me.
Nice.
He's a good fighter.
Fucking Taron Killam's Christoph Waltz impression is so ridiculous. It's so fucking good. I love Taron Killam so fucking much.
I do too.
He's so good. It's just like, guys, you wouldn't think. It's like, oh, he does a Christoph Waltz impression. Like, what is that even? And then you see, you're like, oh, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, that's it.
Same with like Brad Pitt. Like, what's a fucking Brad Pitt? You're like, oh, that's a Brad Pitt impression.
That's so awesome. Good. Yeah.
Who did you actually come face to face with?
Miley Cyrus. And I didn't know what to say, so I just go, you're rad. And she was like, thanks, and just kept walking. And I honestly, I got a lot of shit because I said I stuck up for her on At Midnight, and people were like, fuck, how could you fucking... And I go, look.
What are you talking about? She's great.
I can't really say I know much about her music, but I think someone who grew up as like a Disney TV star that now is trying to make strong definitive choices and try weird things and take risks and have fun and, you know, like, I don't know, I respect that.
Yeah,
you know,
Party in the USA is one of the all-time best party songs.
And also song. She was, you know, she released those like backyard songs.
Yeah,
and my friend Jamie Aronson plays for her.
Oh, nice.
And and she did a version of Jolene that was great.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
And I don't know, so I don't know, it's not, I don't, I guess I don't feel like, I don't know why I'm defensive about it. I just, like, I don't know. I don't think she, I think she's all right.
And, you know, there's just some people out there, like, there's like zeitgeist things you're not supposed to, like, it's like, Miley Cyrus, she sucks, right?
You're not supposed
to
say that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're just trying to make yourself a part of a group by saying that you think she sucks, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway,
I think
she was
great.
She was, except that she
was very dismissive of you.
Very dismissive.
Well,
but not, at least she doesn't have to. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, it's like she doesn't owe me anything. It was just one of those weird, like, I felt like I took a little bit of a swing. And it was just like immediately like, oh, you're one of those people. Like, well, I am one of those people. You know what? You know what, Miley? I am one of those people. And I'm done sharing a birthday with you.
Chris, you can't just do that.
That's how birthdays work.
Okay, I won't. I'll keep a birthday with Herb. Can I get rid of Snooki because we have the same birthday?
Ooh.
I get both sides of the coolness spectrum on my birthday because I get like
my birthday.
I get on my birthday. I get Billy the Kid and Boris Karloff.
Nice.
But then I also get Snooki.
I have Martin Sheen, James Hetfield.
Oh yeah.
Yeah yeah.
Happy birthday! Yeah, how come you didn't bring that up at Comic Con?
We have the same birthday.
What are you gonna do with that information?
That was actually
nothing.
That was actually like a fucking great Harris Whittles joke, which is like the people was like, "We have the same birthday." Great. What does that matter? What does that mean?
Happy birthday! Oh, god damn it, Harris. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the one that texted me about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fucking nuts. I found out kind of early.
How's everyone doing?
Everyone still feels, you know, kind of fake.
Because
you know?
He was at Meltdown the night before, right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Talking about struggling with addiction.
Talking about, like, you know, he was 50 days sober. You know, I don't really want to talk about what he said. I don't, like, you know, we have a blanket kind of thing. Everyone there was just kind of like, we don't really want to talk about it. Okay. We got calls from like Hollywood Reporter and Variety and stuff like that, asking everyone to, well, what did he say? What was he like? And we all kind of just thought that was kind of, it's best if it's like, everyone's going to read into anything we say. I think more than that should be. And so it's best to just not like really delve into it, but he had a great set and, he was very funny. And then like, you know, and he went off. So, yeah, I think that's kind of our blanket imposition on the matter. Just because it's like, you know, it felt real weird. Reporters, like, even like, you know, reporters tried to call like anyone who was there. They called DeMarge Brown and they're like, hey, I heard you were at the show and you were talking to Harris. Like, what was he? And like, it's just like everyone's just like, no, don't worry
about it. Just because it feels like they're exploiting.
It's gross. Yeah, everyone's going to look for a thing to, you know, it's like, well, he said this or he talked about this. And it's like, you know, like in the end, it was just like he had an addiction and it, and, you know, the thing that happens to a lot of people when they relapse after being sober is that, you know, they take too much. And that's pretty much what happened. There's no more underlying
and better that people remember him for the fucking brilliant comic that he was.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. I mean, like, we were joking around about Salieri yesterday, you and I, and like, it's like that was like I he made me feel like Salieri, like from when he showed up. And I was at that show at Largo where he fucking destroyed, and Sarah came up to him and then, you know, asked him to write on the show and stuff like that. Like he's been like a constant, like in my head, like, you know. It's like, even like, you know, ask Matt, like, it's like, I'm always like, oh, here's Will, you know, it's like, he's been like a constant, like, you know, and a friend. So that also feels weird because it's like, you know, I was always kind of like extremely jealous of him and his talents. And he was just always so cool. And like he made me second guess my, you know, hatred for fish. And like, you know, that's how cool he was, is that he made you go, hey, maybe fish isn't that bad. Like, which is a fucking ridiculous statement.
Well, he was a guy that usually was the funniest guy in the room, but he wouldn't overtake a room.
Yeah.
Like he it's incredible how many people he touched with,
just across the board, just from showing up and like, you know, and just everyone loved him and like everyone wanted to use him. You know, Besser immediately started putting him in sketches at UCB. You know, like, you know, Sarah got him, like, you know, like Rob Schraub, Parks and Rec people, like Aziz, everyone loved him. Everyone fell in love with him. It was just like, he was just so fucking funny. So
did you find out if there's any type of a fund to donate to? Is there any type of anything?
I don't know. I think you'd probably talk to Mookie. I think Mookie's kind of in charge of some of that stuff. Because I don't see Armin Weitzman doing that, but I don't know. Maybe we have money. I'm sure there will be some kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think, you know, that seems like something Harris would have made fun of, which is, that was my favorite part about Twitter that day, is that like everyone was just retweeting like all his tweets, and how like he would like, it's like, in Joe Manny, one of his great friends, and, you know, like Noah Garfinkel and stuff like that, Joe Manny said it's like Harris would hate Twitter right now. It's like, I forget who died. It was like Joan Rivers, something like that, where he's like, hey, everyone, taking submissions for the top 10 who mourned him best tweets.
Oh, yeah. All the entertainment sites.
Yeah.
Here's what people are saying. Well, hopefully, you know, people can remember him for the amazing comic and writer that he was, and not the guy who died from a drug addiction, you know? But I think they will.
Yeah. I mean, he did so much within a short amount of time.
Yeah.
That it's like the effects and his style is going to, you know, come, it's going to, you know, it's going to be there for a long time.
What type of, have you had any time to personally reflect on it yet? Like how it actually affects you and how you think it's going to affect you going forward?
Yeah. You know, anything like that. There's no question that you immediately think about, well, how does this, you know, what is this for me? What is, like,
what can you take away from?
What can I take away from this? Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, it made me second guess, like, my drinking, kind of, but that was the only thing I could equate to it. But it's like, it's hard to equate, like, you know, like drinking, like, you know, every couple nights to, like, you know, narcotics. I know it's like all addiction and it's all there. And there's other things I'm addicted to as well. You know, food and, you know, fun, jerking off. there's a lot of stuff that, like, maybe, like, it's a, it was just, there's a thing about that I thought about where it's, you know, I don't want to speculate or talk about it much, but the fact that he, you know, things, he had this addiction, but things were continuing to work out for him, which is like a real kind of, you know, crazy thought, a bad thought to have for somebody, where it's like, you know. And, you know, I could do that with some of my stuff where I'm just saying, like, yeah, you know, like, I do this, but things are still working out for
me. Well, also, people can, you know, because I think people can be largely superstitious. Yeah. You can start, you can much in the same way that a Pavlovian, you know, like a bell makes a dog salivate. You go, yeah. Oh, well, I guess this makes these good things happen. And the truth is, that's not the truth.
That's not the truth.
You know,
at all.
Those are made up connections. But I think our brains need a way to sort and understand the universe, particularly people who are prone to control issues, which as an addict, I can tell you, I think that's one of the main things that a lot of us struggle with is control. And so when you can start connecting things, even if they're disparate things, you start feeling like you have a sense of control over the universe, but you don't.
You don't. Yeah. But yeah, for sure.
Which is okay, by the way. Like there's a certain beauty in kind of going like, I can't, and it's fucking hard to try to control everything. I mean, you just don't have the energy, and the more you do, you know, I think that's where I think, you know, some of life's greatest disappointments come from trying to over-engineer or over-control things.
For sure, yeah. You know, the best things just kind of happen.
But I know that, you know, he's got a You Made It Weird episode that a lot of people went back and listened to, which talks about...
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go back and listen to that.
It's probably going to be hard for you to listen to.
Yeah, I'd imagine for anybody, really, just to, like, hear a guy struggling and feeling like he's beating it to going back. And, you know, I've had friends OD here and there, but it is like, it's just an odd thing. It's just because it's like the reaction you get, it's not, I don't know, it's not like suicide. It's like you just go, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, because
it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like with like a car accident or like some crazy accident like that, you just sort of go, oh. Fuck, man.
You feel robbed by circumstance. Like, you couldn't, you know, like there, it's unless someone was doing something crazy where they were like, you know, they got drunk and were driving around in circles on the freeway. But if it's just a bad happenstance versus something like this was fucking preventable.
Yeah.
You didn't need to do this. Why? Yeah. You know,
and even like, you know, talking to, you know, like friends like AG and Schraub, like, you know, it's like. Everyone has that feeling, oh man, maybe I should have just called him back that day, or maybe I should have said, like, let's go get dinner. Like, you know, that's like, there's a thing.
I don't know if there's any one event that would have, you know.
No, I mean,
there's not.
And if it didn't happen now, it could have happened later. That's just, you know, there's not very many ways out of that kind of addiction.
Right.
It's real weird. It's so odd.
The crazy thing is that he was like our age, like right around our age.
Yeah, he's 2 years younger than me. He's your age, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd known him.
Yeah, he's our age.
Since 2008. Yeah. Chris, he's not your age.
What? Sorry. God damn it. I was trying to sneak in. I thought everyone would be too somber to notice them.
Yeah. I remember when he moved here and, you know, things kind of started picking up and he was asking me, he's like, hey, I feel like I'm in like the same position as you at your age. And like, it's like, you know, it feels like things are kind of starting to happen for me. And I remember, like, I always remember this. That's probably why I have such a complex with him. Is that I was like, yeah, that's just kind of how it is out here. Things always seem like they're about to blow up and you're about to start, you know, but nothing ever happens and you just kind of keep on plugging away. And then, like, just fucking Sarah Silverman program, boom, bam, 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 bam. Like, you know, running his own show at 23 on Comedy Central. You know, like, it's just like, and I'm always just like, oh man, he must have fucking think I'm such a fucking idiot, condescending prick. But I will say this about one of the things he said, last time I saw him at Meltdown was AG made some joke about big butts. And then Harris said, I don't know, man, I don't like big butts. Just takes longer for the poop to come out. And I couldn't stop laughing. And I think he'd much rather people like say that. What was it? What did he say? Well, if you really want to know what he said, the last thing he ever said to me was he doesn't like big butts because it takes for the poop longer to come out.
That's what you should have told, like, the Variety or whatever.
Oh, you're fucking goddamn right. That's what I should have done. Fuck. Yeah. But it's also a weird thing with any kind of death in a scene, you know, that everyone is afraid to own it, you know, because they always know someone that knows the person more Or it's they're afraid to, you know, or people just mourn a bit too much and they make it too much about them. There's an amazing Anthony Jeselnik thing where it's like anytime there's a tragedy or someone goes through a hard time, it's a he says people tweet out, "Oh, my thoughts and prayers," or my thoughts and prayers, my thoughts and prayers. And he's like, all that is really saying is like, hey, don't forget about me.
Right.
I know there's a thing that happened, but don't forget about me.
Right. Well, I didn't know Harris very well. I knew him, I think I was very well acquainted with him.
Yeah.
Like if I saw him in public, I would go up and say hi to him.
Yeah.
And we did a bunch of shows. We went did a bunch of the same shows and I did sort of feel that where I was in this place where I'm like, well, I definitely want to express something, but I don't want it to especially to people who are like really good friends, and they'd be like, you didn't know him that well, you know, like I didn't want to be disrespectful, so I just said a really simple thing.
Yeah,
it's
so odd. And if he fucking like, and Joe Manny was also right, he would love the fact that fucking the Westboro Baptist Church are saying that he's burning in hell. Like I would have, it's like what a fucking, like he would have felt so accomplished. You know, it's just it's crazy. It's just so fucking weird. That's all it really is. It's just weird.
Have you guys gotten together as a group to talk about it?
A lot of different people did. UCB had a grief counselor.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. One of the guys, one of the teachers there, his dad's a group grief counselor, so they had someone there. Just because he was so much a part of so many different scenes, and like, you know, I know the Parks writers went out. I know Sarah Silverman program people went out. Like, you know, he's doing all these. He was part of so many things that like everyone went out. Like, you know, me and some friends like went out and, you know, talked about him and stuff like that. And I know there's a thing. Mookie is putting together a thing soon for like a private for friends and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think that's this weekend. That'll be nice. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I say that like not to, you know, be disrespectful, but I think it's going to be very funny. I think it's going to be very cathartic for everybody.
And I know it can be kind of tricky sometimes. People are like, well, that's what he would have wanted. But I really do think like, well, that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah. I think I have a feeling that like the Hendershaw guys, like Dave Horowitz, Mookie and Joe Mandy and all the, I think like all these guys are going to like end up doing some really funny, offensive, like fucking bits about his death, and I know there's gonna be some heartfelt stuff too. So, yeah, it's just crazy. So yeah, I think it's in the end, I guess the lesson is always if you think you have a problem, talk to some other people about it,
right?
And then like maybe, you know, don't do bad drugs.
Well, I mean, I think for and again, man, I didn't really know what it was like to hang out with him one-on-one and be really close friends with him.
Yeah.
But just seeing him at a party or at a show or whatever, he was such an unassuming guy.
Yeah.
That it, you know, if he did really need more help, you know, would he have asked for it? I don't know. And I think it's, you know, it can be difficult. If someone has an addiction and they're not open about it, I don't think you guys, anyone can really fault themselves for not going, aha, you know, like you can't,
yeah,
especially if someone's just come back from rehab, like you can't spend 24 set, you know what I mean? Like what can you do? Like
if someone's
going to do it in some cases, they're just going to do it. And there's nothing you can, you know, you can't imprison someone. So, yeah. I mean you can, but, but you know, in this case,
for sure. It's addiction is so crazy. Even just like it's rare that I'm ever like, it's like, I got to drink. Like I never get that way about drinking. But I get that way about food, you know, like I get that way about other things.
Yeah.
It's clearly food and booze. Like those can be swapped out. It's still an impulse to feel that you need something.
Yeah. It sucks that it's what I remember about being in the throes of it was basically your brain torturing you until you do it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a kid now, you know, like,
yeah, it's just a thing.
Do it. Can we have this? Can we have, Dad, yeah. Can we have a pony? Dad, can we have a pony? Dad, can we have a pony?
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I don't know. I guess if you feel like you're struggling, get help, talk to people. If they won't listen, they're not the right friends.
Yeah, for sure.
and find someone who will. Because if you are at that stage, you probably do need to help. If you're at the stage where you're thinking about asking for help, you should not think anymore and you should just do it.
Yeah.
Because if you have a brain that doesn't really suffer from that, it would not occur to you to even it would never occur to you to go, I wonder if I, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So get help. And if you have friends who are asking you for help, fucking be there for them.
Yeah.
And make sure that, you know, make sure that they're taken care of and get them in a program, get them into, you know, therapy.
Don't bail.
Get them into a support group, you know,
yeah.
and take care of them. I think that's sort of the best thing you can
do. Yeah, because as hard as it may seem for you to remain friends with that person, it's harder for them to, you know, get clean. So just keep that in perspective.
And in the broader sense, also go easy on yourself.
Go
easy on yourself. You don't have to destroy everything.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds like in his case, though, it had been an addiction he'd been struggling with since he was like preteen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just so weird when you like, you know, it's like, but like, you know, everything worked out. Like, it's like everything was working out.
Right.
That's the part that's scary. It's like, you know, you hear the stories of like, it's like, yeah, I got into this and that and it ruined my life. I lost my job. I lost my family. You know, when like the guy's like, you know, prepping a couple movies and working on one of the, you know, most well-respected
TV shows. But that's also kind of a limited perspective. Like, it's working out is a subjective.
Oh, but I think like to that person.
Right.
It's like, I can do it.
But maybe he didn't. Working out. I mean, like, it, you know, the work stuff is sort of incidental. Like, it's, you know, the fact that he was functioning to be able to get through he still might have been real, you know, I mean, clearly had other things going on inside. So,
definitely.
You know,
yeah.
Just get help if you need it and help people if they need it. I guess that's really the best
for
you
sure.
Can do.
Now, Matt, what is up with this wacky thing you're wearing over
here?
Seriously,
Matt, who?
This shirt is from Ralph Lauren.
Yeah,
his denim and supply company, available at Macy's on 34th Street.
That's just great.
This shirt is made by the Deflector Company, who was always there to get you out of an awkward conversation.
Yeah, no real fun way to end a conversation.
No, that doesn't have to.
Well, I think there is a fun way, and that's that Harris didn't have to turn into Dan Aykroyd.
Jesus Christ.
That's just for Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah.
Yeah, I wonder if these two things are connected in my brain.
Jonah, that was a sweet smile, Jonah. That was a big old sincere knowing smile.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of the week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going to Chicago. Well, by the time this goes up, I'll have been to Chicago. Went to Chicago. What
was it? Cold.
Yeah, it's like 1 degree there.
Yeah.
No, it was fucking freezing in New York last week.
Yeah.
It was negative 15 at a couple of days. We're way under.
I'm sure
zero.
There will be a wind chill factor that brings it below some type.
Here's a little pro tip for you. Head over to Uniqlo in LA. You know, the Japanese store.
Uniqlo?
Get their heat tech shit. It's all on sale.
I do have heat tech shit.
It's like $7 out here.
But it's sort of like what Alex Murray said, where he goes, you know, he's in New York right now.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I put on these thermal underwear because it's really cold outside. But then, because it's the 21st century, everywhere has heat. So then I go inside and I sweat my balls off because
he's probably layering too much.
Two layers of clothes.
You hear my friend Chris Holmes... is designing these clothes. Have you heard about it? It's like when it's like this weird fabric that when you take a flash picture of it, it reflects so much.
The paparazzi hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
My friend Chris is the one that designed that
and
developed that. It's like these like this weird stitching, so when you do it, you just see this white like
it blows
fabric,
out the picture.
And everything else is black.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Man, I gotta remember it's like the anti-paparazzi.
Yeah, the paparazzi
like,
hoodie.
He has like a scarf and there's a jacket and there's a hoodie one.
Stopperazzi?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe.
I mean, let's get back to the drawing board on that. I don't know if he's going to be into it.
Call him and see what he says for this great idea.
Yeah, but
no one could deny.
It's really neat. It's really, really cool. It's like, it's just basically to like discourage people. It's like, well, you're not going to get a good picture anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty genius.
Yeah, he's a crazy guy. He's the guy. He's the DJ guy that opens up for Paul McCartney.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's like
just one of these all around brilliant guys.
Yeah, just one of these guys that always like. He made one of those dream machine things once.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you get a turntable and then you cut, like, certain patterns into this, like, cardboard kind of thing, and you put it on top of the turntable, and then you put a light in the middle of it, so it like, flashes a certain kind of pattern,
yeah,
and it's supposed to put you kind of into a dream state. Like he just, like he's just, he was like, oh yeah, I'll just
so he's a
figure that out.
Tinkering genius.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's fair.
Well, I guess as we wrap it up, I just want to say it's something when you lose when someone passes away and it's very close to home. I think it's important to tell you guys that I love you very dearly, and I'm glad you're both okay.
I feel the same way.
And
about
I'm
you.
Glad that you're. I'm glad that you're both making healthy choices. Seeing this fucking guy, Matt Myra, posting a badass picture on the treadmill when he was in New York.
Oh.
Matt went to New York, fucking worked out almost every day.
I didn't have any pizza.
Didn't eat pizza.
Never gone to New York and not had pizza. That's
seriously great. I'm proud of you guys. Yeah, I really am.
Cool. Well, my diet is the shit. It's the fucking worst thing. I'm eating like shit right now because I'm.
Oh, I thought you were like it's the
no,
shit.
It's not,
like
it's
I got this
shit.
Great diet.
No, it's fucking it's the worst. I'm like in an edit bay and just like antsy and I'm just like, well, there's fucking snacks. Fucking, yeah.
It's the craft service is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah,
but
that's
you know,
all right.
You know what? I'm gonna for the record, that's not the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Respective.
Are you sure? Because that sounds pretty bad, bro.
100% sure.
Okay, good. Well, on this, I think this is an extra special, really take to heart, enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy your burrito.
You can everybody. Enjoy your present. All right. The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this, perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.